Welcome to Brutal Brunch.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
With your hosts, Matt Moore and Matt Mastromano.
Hey, Bruce,
featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
All those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
And brutal takes on music, movies, food, sports, and more.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
WMFO Measure.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
We'll be right back. Good morning.
And welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Kicking things off on this wonderfully pleasant morning outside with some cave-in that was off to ruin off perfect pitch black. And how are you, Matt?
So cold!
Isn't some good? If it was just dark out, it'd be perfect for some black metal.
I did. I woke up at 1 in the morning and just, like, stood on my roof. And just...
The desert is cold.
So we'll get to your black metal song of the week,
cold.
Which is one of your favorite band, your new favorite band. But your other favorite band grew. You got like the patches or whatever.
I got the patches.
So I gave them to my niece because she's all about.
I'm not allowed.
She's
to
in
have
a patching
patch
phase, being so. Held down. But so my niece is gonna like patch. So I'm like, here's a patch, and she's like, what band is this?
It's
I'm
awesome.
Like, oh, screw, listen. And she's like, they sound like the Antichrist. I'm like, they basically.
Yeah, they basically.
Black metal.
Are.
Congratulations.
That's great. I'm glad that an actual teenager can wear my
it's gonna be,
patch vest because I should not be wearing a vest with patches on it.
True cult family right there. But yeah, so we are Brutal Brunch for an hour of Massachusetts metal. And if you'd like to call in here, numbers are 855-915-9636, 781-350-3264. We have our week in metal history, possibly the most important week in metal
Extremely
history.
Extremely important.
We have a pretty decent-sized concert calendar again after a couple of light weeks. Don't know if we'll actually do Brutal or Not Brutal, but we got some crazy things to talk about. And then, of course, Matt's black metal song of the week. Some quick news to get to you locally. Rock and Roll Rumble entrants were announced, as they are every year, around this time for the big annual tournament. And a lot of...
It's actually not even a concert. It's a fist fight. We're going to see who can win in a physical contest.
Our bands would get a lot more of an advantage, I feel like, if that's actually the thing. Like, they beat up a bunch of indie people.
Yeah, the bands that I like would win.
But, so a lot of... I was going to say a lot of metal representation, sort of. It's more like heavy representation, but it's all... A little bit of that click that I feel like the local scene can get criticized for. So some of the entrants include the Heave Ho, which we played for you, Worshipper, the Humanoids.
Great.
Of course.
Yeah.
Heavy Necker. Heavy Necker's good.
I like Heavy Necker.
Yeah. They're a little bit more outside. The Tenafly Vapors. Vipers, you can see them. I don't know. There's a sticker
on the wall somewhere.
I always pronounce them wrong all the time,
nice.
Even though it's not hard. Diablogado, No Hope, No Harm, featuring your boy Luke O'Neill. We played their Christmas song, and Carissa Johnson, who I thought had one of the best albums of last year.
Not bad.
Among many others. You good?
Yeah, just trying to get that buzzing. All don't right. worry about me.
And check out Rock and Roll Rumble.
Check
very
it
prestigious.
Out.
It was
how long?
How long is it?
30 years? How long has it been going on?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head.
75
a long time.
Years.
But it was like in question when BCN went down.
Yeah.
But Angel Wood kept it going. Now on ZLX, still doing Boston Emissions.
That's nice.
So, yeah.
And there's still, but she's not on Radio BDC, whatever it is.
Nah.
Because met Adam
that
12.
That was pre the fall. Yeah, Adam 12.
I creeped everyone out because I was like, oh my God, it's Adam 12. I was like shaking his hand at some weird concert I went to like randomly at the Brighton Music Hall.
I feel like I've done that multiple times too.
Yeah, and I was like walking out and I'm like, oh, it's Adam 12. He's like, hey, how you doing? He's like, wow, you're the greatest.
a Wakefield boy, by the way.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But, and then a lot of wrestling news.
A lot of wrestling news.
That's another thing we like to talk about.
I watched Fastlane. It was horrible. It was absolutely terrible. Except for Jack Gallagher versus Neville, because that was funny, because Jack Gallagher...
Is he the guy with the umbrella?
He's the umbrella guy, and they had a nice match. It was like a match that had a storyline, which is that Neville is a living muscle... And he's very mean, and he's from the mean part of England. And then Jack Gallagher is a fancy boy from the fancy boy part of England, and is not stronger than Neville in any way. So he had to like put his whole life into trying to beat him, and then he didn't, which is a good storyline. Then the rest of it was just bad. Like Goldberg won in 30 seconds for no reason. Like I don't know what we're trying to set up. I guess because it's like they punish the fans, right? They're not punished, because whatever. Because that means like people who don't watch Raw on a consistent basis, like me, who spend hundreds of hours on wrestling, and I'll probably still watch Mania, but I'm not going to care about a Goldberg, Brock Lesnar main, right? Like, I don't care. But, you know, who would care is like a guy or gal who watches like once a year and hasn't seen wrestling in 20 years. Like, oh, Goldberg, sick.
Yeah,
like, so they'll watch, but I'm like, but you haven't been suffering with me this whole time. But whatever, there'll be other stuff on there. It's good. This wrestling's like Mania is going to be like 75 hours long or whatever. So.
On the flip side,
yeah,
last night was Ring of Honor 15th anniversary, winner take all.
Yeah.
It was tremendous.
Seemed good.
Very, very well spent. $35.
I watched the third man. It's
getting educated in the classics.
I was trying to watch a good movie.
Hey, you missed Christopher Daniels capture the title after 15 years of Ring of Honor.
I did.
The video package was like, it was his debut, like, as a wrestler, and Adam Cole's like, here's me at that age. It was like him as a 3-year-old. He's like, I learned how to color while you were learning how to wrestle. And so, Daniels victorious. Kazarian gets a TV title shot.
Great.
The villain, Marty Scurll from England, retained the TV title.
Gross.
Hardy's retained the tag titles, in which Trent Beretta was fed thumbtacks and then super kicked and then took a Meltzer driver onto thumbtacks.
Unbelievable.
Before then being put through a table by the Hardys. This is Matt's favorite type of wrestling.
I mean, it is.
Him and Jim Cornette just shaking their heads.
The fact that didn't result in a pin.
Well, it was an attempted pin, but it got broken up.
Oh, okay.
He didn't kick out.
At least it got broken up, I suppose. As opposed to an ambulance coming in and being like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Holy Cross boy broke his shins, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, found out that there's a fellow Holy Cross alum wrestling for Ring of Honor. TK Orion, part of the Kingdom, Matt Taven's little band.
Yep.
And took out Dalton Castle's boys with a giant moonsault to the outside.
Gotta
and proceeded to smash his shins on the way down on the guardrail. Had to be carried out. They had to do a modified finisher for that match.
Brutal.
But, so let's... And then we got more wrestling stuff to talk about because Rebe Sky went bananas on Twitter.
She did.
Or Rebe Hardy. But let's table that until
Senior later. Benjamin revelations.
Senior Benjamin bombshell that everyone probably knew.
Oh, I didn't know.
But I don't read the dirt sheets, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to some brand new music here. Let's, hold on. Which band? Some of these bands. Here we go. Lust to the Wolves has a new song out. This is the lead single off their upcoming EP. And it is called Nightfall. It will be available March 31st, but they're having their release party, and it will be available there this upcoming Friday at 13th Floor Music Lounge. And you'll hear more about upcoming shows for the week. This band, they used to be known as Elegy, and now they are Lost to the Waves. And this is the single off their upcoming EP again. The EP is called Nightfall, and the song is called Remember Me. Stay tuned. We got more new music, as well as a track that was submitted to us by an RPM band from last summer. We're going outside of Massachusetts for that one.
What?
But, here is Lost to the Waves, Remember Me on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. When you rust, I'll shut you onto the deadly path.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Aliens are real.
Welcome back to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. You just heard the latest from the band Arrowhead. That was Thousand Palms Sung and Reposed off of their split with the band Forever Losing Sleep. And that is available on Bandcamp. It was released on March 3rd, so check it out. And then before that, you heard the latest from the band Lost of the Waves, formerly known as Elegy. That was Remember Me off their upcoming disc Nightfall. And now it is time once again.
Yes.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
Yes. March 5th through the 11th, everyone stop doing the cockroach mosh and listen. First, and most importantly probably, March 5th, 1996, Halloween releases their album, The Time of the Oath. Whoops. Guess what? My internet broke.
All right.
That is bad.
You could keep talking about Halloween for a minute.
I will. Oh, no, it's back. It's back. Anyway, Halloween releases in The Time of the Oath, a concept album dedicated to the memory of their former drummer, Ingo Schwickenberg, who had committed suicide the previous year. Time of the Oath, based on the prophecies of Nostradamus, the prophecies particularly made from 94 to 2000. Nostradamus interpreters believe that he predicted a third world war followed by a millennium of peace if humans made the right choices. The album is meant to reflect the choices of humanity. The question, though, Matt, is does it tie into the Seven Keys saga? It does. My internet is totally dead. It's just like crapping in and out. Halloween is going to be coming to doing a tour this year. Oh, there it is. I think.
This is coming through me. It's through my...
Okay. Doesn't it sound like a... It sounds like a wrestling theme, but I can't think of who it is.
It's Ali Peace, Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit. That's who. That's why. Okay. There you go. Halloween in the Time of the Oath. March 5th, 2002, the Black Label Society releases the album 1919 Eternal. Stylizes 1919 Star Eternal. Zach had written this album for his late father. A number of the songs on this album were written for Ozzy, but Ozzy said they were too Black Label Society for him and decided to put him on his own album. This is Bleed For Me off of 1919 Eternal, which starts with some good Ghostbusters stuff. The question is always, when I think of Zach Wilde, is what do you think Zach Wilde smells like?
Jack Daniels.
I feel like he smells like Jack Daniels, leather, and like sweat farts.
I was at, I went to a show, they headline, it was with, the openers were Dope and Seven Dust.
Sounds good.
So my friends and I went to see for Seven Dust. We met LeJean out front of the House of Blues that night.
Oh yeah?
But anyway, it was like, so we see Dope and we see Seven Dust. And then it was like a changing of the guard. Like Seven Dust gets off the stage and Black Label Society starts getting ready.
Yeah.
And like half the crowd like leaves and another half like just comes forward. Like the bikers all just came
amazing.
Out of the woodwork. It was incredible.
I just come in and push you guys down and you're talking to the guy from Seven Dust. All right. March 7th, 2000, Armored Saint, a great heavy metal band of the early 90s, releases their fifth studio album. It's marked a return to the original Symbol of Salvation lineup from 90. It was a tribute to the guitarist Dave Pritchard, who had passed away making Symbol of Salvation. It's a pretty good album. It's very 90s. It's so 90s, in fact, that it was multimedia and came with a CD-ROM Ooh. Called Return of the Red. Speaking of the 90s, this song, The Pillar, was originally written for the movie Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth.
Oh, no. One of the worst horror movies ever made.
One of the worst horror movies ever made. With the greatest tagline. Hell on Earth is like a great sequel tagline. Because Doom 2, Hell on Earth, of course.
We just talked about this, like the one franchise that did In Space, right? Hellraiser in Space.
Hellraiser
was so
space.
Good.
I didn't
so
see good. It. I don't really only seen Hellraiser 2.
The best.
Armored Saint is in Hellraiser 3. They're in the bar scene. I've never seen it.
The scene is pretty wild.
They're the ones. They're the band.
Okay.
Unsurprisingly, in that scene.
It's right. When they make Cenobites out of like the DJ and the bartender and somebody else.
It's like when they ran out of Mega Man bosses and they were like, Dustman. Like just stuff lying around the office. All right, more importantly. I mean, not as importantly.
This is the big one.
Disturbed releases their album.
This really was game changing.
The Sickness. The most important part of the most important part of Disturbed is what Matt's gonna play right now.
You want me to just let it play?
Yeah, I just let it play. And I'm gonna talk over it. And it's that no one can do the
This is a karaoke compilation.
This is a compilation of people failing at it. Now, what do you think about Disturbed? Did you like the song when it came out?
I thought this song was awful because of that interlude where he gets beat up by his mother.
He's like, don't hit me again. I'll be a good boy.
I don't know why.
I did think that...
what was the original song that came out? It was awesome. Before Voices and Before the Game and Before Down the Sickness. The original... Stupefy.
Stupefy.
Stupefy hit. It was like, I loved it. And half this album was awesome, but I always would like skip the song once I got to that interlude. It's like, this is so stupid.
The question is... Can you do that? Can you do the? Can you do it? Can you do this vocal hit? Can you do it? Give it a try.
Oh, pressure!
I have down. I have the. If you go to if you go to the next one, I have like the karaoke version, so you can at least have the bed of the song.
See, I have no voice now in the morning.
All right. All right, you can do it.
Oh wait, this karaoke.
It's this is no the, vocals. It's you got to add your own vocals.
See about time.
Matt's drinking water. He's getting ready to impress you all. Oh yeah,
this build was cool. And like when Stick
Death, cool
when Stick Death was around and they used this, it was pretty amazing.
Oh, I missed it. I missed the cue.
All right, it's over. You failed. You're a failure. Disgusting. March 8th, 2010, you can just start playing the song. March 8th, 2010, one-man black metal project / white supremacist, Burzum releases the album Bellis. This album came
Invader
up...
Theater of France.
This album came up while Varg was 16 years into his 21-year sentence for killing Euronymous. The original name of the album was Dven Vit Guden, which translates to The White God in Norwegian. Shockingly, Varg changed the name because he was like, no, it's not about that, which is odd because he is about that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, what was he worried about? Album sales? He's in jail. He's a maniac. He says, no, it's actually a reference to the Indo-European deity Belus or Baldur, the god of life and death. But I've listened to a lot of tracks from this, and if you're able to divorce yourself from the fact that it is Varg doing it, it's good. It's like atmospheric black metal, but I can't. He's like one of the guys I can't divorce the artist from the art. Right.
Which we may talk about later.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And I think this when this actually came out, it actually got a really good review from like the Phoenix, like back in the day when it actually came out. There you go, Bellis. March 9th, 2010. It's a quick one. Death metal band Demon Hunter releases their fifth studio album.
I like one of that albums.
The World is a Thorn.
You know, one of the reasons why they're called Demon Hunter.
Because Diablo?
They are a Christian band.
Yeah, no, yes. You can tell that from the lyrics. The album art is amazing because it's a cathedral made of bones. And this is The World is a Thorn off of The World is a Thorn. All right, I got two quick hits for you. Quick hits, trademark. March 10th, 76, Judas Priest releases the song The Ripper. I picked the live version of this because it has a lot of good Rob Halford vamping.
Uh-oh.
It's going to blow your speakers. Ooh. Obviously, a two-minute song about... a two-minute song about Jack the Ripper. When the stars fall, but you least expect me. So good, right? It's life-changing. March 10th, 79, Motorhead releases Overkill, the single. This is a great song. Motorhead is good. I'll accept no debate. Listen to how good this is. It sounds like you're getting bombed by World War I pilots or something. And lastly, March 11th. Oh, yeah. Wait, hang on. Yeah. All right. March 11, 2009, Finnish gothic doom metal band releases All Ends in Silence. I had not heard of these guys before doing this list. It's good. Atmospheric doom for our new Facebook friend, Death Kiss, over at WEMF. It has a very long intro of just like soft piano, but it's good. It's like a, it's good music to have on while you're like doing work. Like I had this on a lot while I was like typing and like writing at work. And there you go. That ends this week's metal history. Thanks for bearing with me due to my technical difficulties.
Tremendous bit.
Except
I screwed up the whole thing.
I mean, you can try it again.
No, we'll move on. That's fine. We'll, actually, yeah, let's switch back here. Get some Hammerfall back in the background. There we go. Concert list for the upcoming year, or upcoming week in Massachusetts. Tonight at the Palladium, kind of a big show. It is Born of Osiris, the new Rain Tour, with Volumes, Oceans 8 Alaska, Within the Ruins, Fire from the Gods, Barbarian, Ladder Math, Don't Cross the Streams, In Honor of, and Fathom Farewell. At the Cantab Lounge, you can see Horrible Earth, Psycho, Gamaliel, and Angel Morgue. That Born of Osiris EP is like a remix of an older EP, which I was disappointed to find out about. I'm not up on the Sumerian bands, and it was news to me. Sunday, tomorrow, in the Middle East, it is Ever Present with Big Time Kill, Ragozo, and DJ Anomaly. Monday, March 13th at 3065 Live, it's Angel Maker, Falsifier, Filth, Extortionist, Monumental, Momental, The Gallows Instance, Moments Before Dawn, Kunda, and Cronus. Tuesday, March 14th at once, it is Wacken Metal Battle USA Boston Round 2 with Upheaval, Leatherlung, and Burnham Wood. Wednesday, March 15th at the Paradise, it's Mass Boys and Death Heaven.
Yes.
This Will Destroy You and Emma Ruth Rundle. Thursday, March 16th at Ralph's with Metal Thursday with Ashen Wings, Ramius, Dark Was the Night, and Unflesh. And Friday, March 17th, next weekend at the Palladium, it is Battle for Metal Fest Round 5 with No Eye Has Seen, Truth Informs as Aphrodite Fell, Vile, and The Offering. And then at the 13th Floor Music Lounge, we mentioned it before, but it's the Lost to the Waves EP release, their EP release show for Nightfall, which will be out March 31st, but you can pick it up at the show 14 days early. And they're playing along with Grave Knight, Manic Outburst, The Beast of Nod, Garrotted. You know what? I screwed up the formatting. Just ignore everything I just said. It is the EP release show for Lost of the Waves, but that's that's at Sammy's Patio.
He did it.
March 17th. That's on Friday. Sammy's Patio will have Crime Spree, Lost of the Waves, Shit Kill, Trip in the Stone, and Savage Hen. At 13th Floor Music Lounge on Friday night, you can see Grave Knight, Manic Outburst, The Beast of Nod, and Garrotted. You can see my my formatting here. Made
terrible
it look
formatting.
Like one big show.
That's what you get.
This concert calendar kills me every week.
Not only did you do the Disturbed wrong,
but
read
go
the
see.
Wrong.
I'm gonna have like when Henry Santoro like had a meltdown and made got a fact wrong and left WFNX. That's what's gonna happen.
I'm out of here.
All right. Black metal song.
Black
of the week.
Metal song of the week.
I just stopped talking.
It's cold outside and dark. It's actually not dark. You set your clocks forward this week. Spring forward.
That's right. That's tonight, right?
Yep. Black Metal Song of the Week is Abyss by Plagues off of The Great Dark Devotion. A fantastic album. I think they're going to be playing it tonight at Koto in Salem. My favorite place.
Did I miss a show?
Ever. I think it's tonight. It's been on Facebook. I got it. Plagues of The Great Dark Devotion. Koto is like one of my favorite places so far in Salem, where I just started working out there, and it's a Chinese restaurant.
Next week, March 18th.
March 18th, so I won't be there.
Next Saturday.
Sorry. Incorrect. Either way, I'm playing this new album.
We are on a roll.
We're on a roll. Sorry, guys.
Highly acclaimed middle segment.
Abyss.
Should I just play?
Just play Abyss. Just get us out of this.
that is your black metal song of the week. That was Abyss by the band Plagues off of the Great Dark Devotion.
Guys, next week at Kodo.
Next week, March 18th at Kodo. Matt,
I'm all excited.
He'll be there in spirit. All right, so we're not going to do an actual Brutal and Not Brutal segment. We're going to just talk about some crazy stuff that happened. Just touch on the Rebe Hardy thing. Basically, she had went on a rant because we'll just do this real quick. Enough wrestling. But as you know, the Broken Hardys have not jumped ship, but TNA kind of lowballed them. And they went to Ring of Honor for allegedly the biggest Ring of Honor contract of all time.
Wow.
It
was $4,000.
So then they sent your boy Shane Helms to go get the belts back, from the Hardys, teleported to Decay on Thursday night. But nobody understands what the hell happened.
Okay.
And then TNA sent cease and desist to Ring of Honor for the Broken gimmick. And Rebe went off.
She went off.
And was just dropping bombs on people. Including the bombshell, the big reveal, to us at least.
Senor Benjamin is Rebe's dad.
Yeah.
And that TNA...
And he was tasering people for free.
And then, he was doing it for free for his daughter and son-in-law and grandson. But that TNA had, made an offer to him to stay, and he was like, these are my children that I was doing a favor for? I'm not a professional wrestler. Which is amazing carny garbage, to assume that this lady's dad would stay while she was out.
TNA still screwing things up since 2002. Terrible. Ever since Cheeks broke the ring. All right, so you mentioned, what band was it? Oh, Burzum.
Burzum.
Varg. And how you can't listen to certain bands, you can't divorce bands when, a member
especially that band, because it's just him.
Yeah, if a guy is, it's more than being an a-hole, but,
it's
he's
more than just,
he's supremacist.
Rude. He is a bad
He's a murderer.
Dude. Yeah.
He, burned churches.
He tried to evade France with his crazy girlfriend.
Right, which they were acquitted for.
I mean, if it was a cartoon, I'd be like, wow, fuck.
Yeah, so,
that's a real
other,
guy.
Other, we talk about other bands Rotting Christ or Marduk.
Marduk.
He's theatrical.
But then you have
these other bands where they're just
but theatrical in their lyrics.
Right.
Their
image.
In their image, but not in their out of character, out of your kayfabe opinions, if you will, you know?
So one band that has released a new album is the band Amir.
Mm-hmm.
Led by the notorious Frankie Palmieri, who
Rude boy.
Is an a-hole. He has in the past apologized for being an egotistical, psychotic, moronic douche, which is very true. But basically, he was the one, he released the a line of shirts glorifying school shooting. Drops F-bombs, not the typical F-bomb you would think of, but also something that Philip Bonney is quite fond of from Other Remains. So one example is because of that, as music director of the show, we do not play All That Remains anymore. That was never an explicit thing, but I'm not going to play that guy or give that guy any publicity.
Right.
I mean, not that our show matters.
It matters.
To him, because they're a legit
matters.
Band. But,
critically.
Yeah, F off. If you're going to call people because he called a journalist. He dropped an F-bomb on him, and the guy's why would you do that? He's you are one.
Yeah, so therefore,
and it's like, what are you...
Yeah,
how can you say that?
You want to support,
And everybody got all excited because he criticized Trump when he got elected, but it's no, he's still a crazy gun nut conservative who
he's a maniac.
Thinks you shouldn't be gay.
I don't even know
whatever.
If that's conservative. He's just a loon.
He's
bad
insane.
Dude.
So it's I found out the band, so the band's the story so far, which I know everybody hates on anyway because they're pop punk, but it's
boo.
They had a really good song a couple years ago, Heavy Gloom. And I was I went to look up the video for it, and the first thing that came up was after they played Warped last year, their singer, whatever his name is, Parker, whatever.
Parker Lewis.
Parker.
Can't
it's not Lewis.
Lewis.
Parker Cannon or something. But they were doing a show, and a girl got up on stage to take a selfie, which, it's annoying, especially nowadays. Get off the stage. Stop taking selfies. But he literally drop-kicked her. Literally drop-kicked her off on... She flies off the stage. Everyone cheers. And then, a bunch of dudes are stage diving, and he doesn't care. And it's what are you doing? Don't drop-kick the man. This is a much different situation from, the Lamb of God incident when Randy was telling people to stay off the stage, and, you kind of, push people off the
yes.
Ground. I mean, there's a girl taking a selfie, and he drop kicks her from behind
at a show where that's
show,
supposed
which
to happen.
Pop punk is in hot water because of a bunch of stuff that happened last year, anyway, too, with allegedly underage sexual assaults and
the
stuff
thing
like
with
that.
Pop punk is it's in a bunch of hot water because they all sing through their nose and they all sound the same, and I don't understand why.
Some of it's awesome. Whatever, I'll go to Warped Tour again.
But it's like, I'm not so like, now I'm like, I can't like the song anymore.
Yeah,
this
I get
guy's
what you're saying.
A D-bag. Like,
it's like, and it's like, you don't want to be in that. It's like inviting someone to a party and I don't want to hang around those people. Like with Burzum, where I was like, if I could say this album without like having to think of this guy, I would like it. But I went to the YouTube link to get some songs from that album. And like the comments were like, oh, this is not a party I want to hang out with. These people aren't people I want to be with.
Right.
So it's a fine line.
So it's a crazy question. It's like, yeah, can you, because
you do that with art, right? Like I do that with Michael Jackson.
Yeah. And it extends to other things too. Because some people are like, I can never watch a Chris Benoit match in my life.
Yeah.
Even though he was, if you do take out the context for a second, he was objectively one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Yep.
But a lot of people can't do it anymore.
Nope. It's tough to watch him now.
Can I justify listening to Burzum? Can I justify listening to a Muir? Or all that remain? And this is all different scales. Obviously, murder is different from slurs. Just
being a dick.
But, yeah. And then you have the feud now brewing between ultra over-the-top feminist, in my opinion, sometimes, Otep Shemalaya. I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
Went on
Jamie Joss's podcast and ripped the Butcher Babies because the Butcher Babies went after her.
Because they're saucy, right? They're like, they go on stage with saucy clothes.
They used to like run around and like only have tape over their nipples, and that was like they're edgy and like look at us and
so edgy. It's like I'm in the 90s.
Yeah,
it's hard to be edgy when the world is going to end. You know, like when the head of the EPA is like, "Guess what? Carbon dioxide doesn't exist. Who cares about your boobs at that point?"
Yeah, I thought they had like one decent song on the last album, but they really are. It's painful to listen to sometimes.
Mm.
To clarify my comment on regarding OTEP, she's of the ilk where like she has songs about like men should be raped, like that whole thing. I'm like, all right, tone it down a little bit.
Rude and rude.
I support your cause in general, but sometimes your rhetoric is a little extreme for me.
Rude.
So that whole thing is going on. It's like, I don't know. But she went after Phil Labonte too in the same podcast.
Yes.
And being like, don't do that.
So that's why I was thinking about Phil Labonte was somehow involved in that feud. How did this happen?
She calls him out, which she's right to do. And then everybody gets all like metal sucks right now is a good
barometer.
Kind of cesspool in the comments as every website is, but it's like interesting because they have like made a stand after the election. They're like, no, we're just gonna be social justice warriors, we don't even care.
Yeah.
And people they're like, this band sucks because this guy's an a-hole, and everyone gets really mad because like, well, the music is really good and it's not your position as a metal blog to care about this.
Sure,
and they're like, you know what, it is
blog.
Gonna be our so it's like, I don't know, it's pretty it's interesting to see right now the climate.
Opinions.
And other people on the other side would be like, Sepultura's coming out. They're coming at Maxon, or not Sepultura, but Max and Igor are speaking out Max against Trump. Igor, I'm not going to listen to them anymore. And
Sepultura is doing
something
else.
Somebody got pissed and said they weren't going to watch, they weren't going to support Mario Balotelli anymore. The
soccer
chef.
Guy?
No, I always forget their, I always mix them
Mario
up.
Mario Batali?
Batali. Yeah, the
wow,
chef. They're like, I'm not
going to
cook
names.
Your food anymore because you spoke out against Trump. And it's like,
he did.
Everybody chill. He like made a tweet.
Did Mario Balotelli speak out against Trump, the soccer guy?
Who knows? I think he's still...
He seems like a nut.
Yeah.
I don't watch soccer, though, but I've heard about that guy. That's how famous he is.
Yes. So that's that.
There you go. That's your news, Brutal Brunch.
Brutal. You want to talk about that Juggalos real quick? There's a new Woods of Tree video out right now.
Yeah, there is. Just go watch
it. Check that out.
The desert is cult.
And then the Juggalos are in the news again.
Yeah, guy. The basics of the story essentially were they were at a... funeral or a wake, and they were trying to do like some sort of ceremony to like, you know, honor their fallen comrade that involved cutting someone's thumb off, and then they were going to eat it, but then it went wrong, and they were like, this thumb won't cut off easy enough, so there's a lot of blood. Someone had to cauterize something with a cigarette lighter from a car. So it was bad news for everyone in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who was at a Juggalo wake that day, I'll say.
Good stuff going on.
Not
making a strong case after they were classified as a gang and they wanted to shake that. So anyway, that wraps it up for this week. That was a rough hour of Brutal Brunch, but it was good.
Yeah, we did.
It was fun. So we're going to play you a song not from Massachusetts, but from the band Green Bastard. They were at RPM Fest.
Yeah, they were.
And we're going to play out with this because this is a 14-minute track off of their latest EP that came out last year, Pyre.
These guys
and
are
it's
great.
Called Green Dream. And it's going to play right into Mike on the mic. Mike is here in studio, ready to go. And
Green Bastard.
This was submitted to me by one of the members of the band.
I like when they were at RPM and they're like, this is our last song.
Played,
and it was like their second song. I'm
like,
oh boy.
20 minutes long. It was fantastic. Anyway, this is Green Dream of a Pyre. We'll be here next week with a special in-studio guest and a performance from Sacred Shapes. So tune in. They will be in studio. And here is Green Bastard.
find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.